It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Today, we're welcoming Mayor Bill Peduto back to the program for his monthly appearance and final one of 2015. It's been a fast year. Mayor Peduto, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh. You have literally just rushed in here through the door and sat down. We're glad to have you.
I haven't even had time to tweet. There we go. Essential Pittsburgh's already tweeting. Tune in 95 for our conversation with Mayor Bill Peduto. Tweet us emails. With the information, retweet right now. There it goes.
Beautiful.
Bam.
Beautiful. Good to have you back
hey,
at our
it's great in
90.5 studio.
People at home, you got new chairs in here.
Yeah.
They're beautiful. It looks like these new things, the little covers over the mic that match my tie.
Yes. I'm glad you wore a tie that matched the windscreens on the microphone. Yeah, that was a very well-coordinated plan on your part.
Thank you.
So good to see it.
It's part of the whole 2015 agenda, you know.
Well, and an integral part of that agenda it is. Mayor Peduto, we only have you until the bottom of the hour, so let's dive right in. Donald Trump is calling for a ban on Muslims entering the United States. You have said you are committed to accepting 500 Syrian refugees, many of whom would presumably be Muslims. If Donald Trump becomes president, you could end up having to alter your plans. How do you feel about that and what Mr. Trump and his supporters are saying?
Let me try and answer that in three parts. Number
sure.
one, I don't get to accept refugees. Number, we've gone into an agreement with the United Nations as part of a world understanding that the nations across this world will recognize when the UN creates a country with a refugee system that we will accept a certain part of it. And no governor can put out a decree that says that we won't accept any in our state. And by the way, that's very un-American to even suggest that states have the rights to be able to do that. The second part of that is when a mayor or a governor or anyone says we'll accept more, what they're basically saying is we'll work with the organizations that are part of a resettlement operation. So in Western Pennsylvania, we have several. We have Catholic Charities, Jewish Family and Children's Services, a whole host of, and they, on an annual basis, bring in about 500 refugees from these countries that are identified by the United Nations to Western Pennsylvania. And they've been bringing in Syrians. What I said is we would work with those organizations to help them to up their capacity to bring in more. Now, if you're a Syrian refugee and you're in a camp in Turkey, and you want to be resettled, you don't get to pick your country. You don't get to say, I want to go to the United States. You basically apply for refugee status. And then if you have family members, you're given a little bit extra weight into that country that you want to go to. But it's then decided these are the refugees that will be going to France, that will be going to Germany, that will be going to Great Britain, Canada, United States. And then the vetting process begins. And we don't have to accept them all. So all of that said, there is a good system in place, and we have a good network of mainly faith-based institutions, but other institutions as well. And we're working together, and we've had meetings in our office. How can we bring in additional? Now, I don't know if we're going to be able to double the number, but I think we're going to be able to bring in some additional. Donald Trump. You know, yesterday was the first time that there were more critics from the Republican Party saying that this guy has gone off the charts than from Democrats. Democrats, I think, sort of found it amusing in a sense and troubling at the same time and never really thought that America could ever elect somebody like this. And as his rhetoric got further and further to the extreme, Republicans started to worry. And they're worried right now about where their party is. When you have Bob Dole,
they're also worried that he might run as an independent, which,
you know what? If he does, what we're seeing is, well, let me go back to Bob Dole.
Sure.
We've got Bob Dole, who, you know, all cards on the table. You know, back in the 80s, I experimented in college, and I was a Republican for a little while. And I worked for Bob Dole in Nashua during the 88 presidential. And got to know him, got to meet his family. He's a good guy. I mean, politics I differ with him on, but you think about the political landscape of 88, he was the liberal of the Republicans, a rip-on society type.
Right, and a guy who could very effectively work across the aisle with Democrats.
He did, and he did on a number of issues. That was back in those days. So this is a guy who has no reason to jump into the fray, just completely blessed and said he would never even vote for Donald Trump. You have Speaker Ryan, who's saying he's not a conservative. You have Dick Cheney, who's saying he's un-American. And I think Trump jumped the shark. I think, and what's amazing about it is on an issue that a lot of America could galvanize around hatred about the treatment of Muslims. And it was the issue, I think, that ended his chance to become president.
Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter wants to ban Donald Trump from his city. What about the idea of banning Trump from Pittsburgh? And I know that's something that you really can't do, but would there be, if you know, Donald Trump, presumably, if he stays in this race for president, and there's no indication that he's not, he will be coming through Pennsylvania. He'll be coming to Pittsburgh at some point, probably. How should we react? How would you want to, what statement might you want to make if he's in town?
I'm not banning people. I mean, and I support the Constitution of the United States, unlike Donald Trump, who actually tries to trump the Constitution and say that certain people shouldn't be allowed into America, even if they're Americans, even if they're Americans. So I'm not going to use his tactics in order to sort of try to one-up him. And I will not use the tactics that I abhor as my operation. My operation is simply this. You know, I try to stay out of the Democrat-Republican political game, except when it comes time to elections. But this guy has gone so far that he is hurting the United States around the world. I just came back from Paris, where I was with mayors of 500 mayors from every continent. The reputation of the United States is being dragged down by one individual. He's dangerous. He has become the spokesperson for ISIS. His rhetoric and hatred towards Muslims is being used by them in order to say, look at how bad America is. And if he comes to Pittsburgh, I welcome him. And I would like to sit with him and tell him directly to his face about what a disgrace it has been to watch what he has done about rallying hatred in this country, and to be able to say to him, shame on you for trying to use that to win an election. We have gone to the bottom of trying to be able to win an election through hate and fear. I've never seen it. I don't know. You know, I've been here 51 years on this earth, and I hope to God, and we'll see what happens, but I hope that people start to realize that this is not a game, and what he's doing is dangerous for this country.
When it comes to the refugee situation, people are understandably afraid. There is a legitimate concern about our ability to thoroughly vet refugees and immigrants coming from Syria and other parts of the Middle East. What is your response to people who are worried in the wake of the Paris attacks and what happened a week ago today in San Bernardino? People who say that if you encourage the influx of refugees into Pittsburgh, you are putting Pittsburgh at risk.
Well, it's much easier to come to this country with a visa and not even go through a two-year period of being vetted. The idea that you can just seal up your borders or become isolationist in your international policy is never proven to be a safety net. It's only caused countries that have done it to be looked at with disdain from the rest of the world. So if you're a terrorist, you have a lot of opportunities to be able to enter this country. The greatest entryway for ISIS right now is social media, in finding individuals who are socially outcast and recruiting them in St. Louis, in Detroit, in California, and throughout this country, and getting them to join in through social media. You don't need to even have a visa or a passport to do it. And this idea that you have millions of people who are trying to flee the same terrorist that we are fighting and telling them no, because it's not 100% fail-safe. What is? I mean, I've said it before. I think I said it on your show. It's, you know, when you turn on your water in the morning to brush your teeth, what's guaranteeing you that it's not poison? I have to worry about that at night. What driving down Fifth Avenue and the light turns green, how do you know that the other light's not green too and you're going to get into a T-bone collision? I have to worry about that at night. There's no guarantee in life. And it goes back to Ben Franklin's quote. And he saw this happening back then, and it's happened throughout the history of this country. Those that would trade essential liberty for temporary safety deserve neither. That's where this debate is. So if we're going to have a debate, how do we make it so that our country is safer through a refugee program that we're part of an international agreement to be a part of on a world scale? then let's have that debate. Let's talk about making that system safer. But if it's simply a way to hide hatred towards one group of people in using that, then we're not really debating the issue at all.
Following the shooting of a Muslim cab driver, your chief of police, Cameron McLay, has been meeting with members of the Islamic community in Pittsburgh. How do you see that helping in terms of easing tensions and increasing understanding?
Well, I mean, I've represented city council for 12 years, the Islamic Center of Pittsburgh, as part of my council district, and actually did a Labor Day bike ride. Bike ride, and ISIS. And somebody said it's bicyclist. That's the two issues right now.
I'll let you try to say that.
Yes, but we did a bike ride on Labor Day 1 year, and we stopped at a Greek Orthodox church and met with the deacon, stopped at a Jewish synagogue and met with a rabbi, stopped at the Islamic Center, met with an imam, and stopped at St. Paul's Cathedral and met with the priest, and talked about all the similarities of our religions. And it's kind of eye-opening. And if you go to YouTube, there's actually some great YouTube videos from it when the priest of St. Paul's talks about the Know Nothing movement, and in Pittsburgh about when Mayor Joe Barker imprisoned the bishop and the Catholic cathedral burned to the ground. When the groups that we were considering terrorists back then, the ones that our founding fathers said could not assimilate into our society, the Catholics, the Irish and the German Catholics, there was no way that the papacy and our constitution were compatible. And the hatred that came around the Know Nothing movement at that time permeated itself right here in the city of Pittsburgh. And when the imam talks about the similarities of our religion and how the Quran has more writing about Mary and Mary's father than the Bible does, and you know, and now they recognize Jesus in the Bible. It was really telling that, you know, there's the basis of all the three religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam are all found in the same area and all are founded on the same type of bedrock. So I forgot what the question was.
No, I was asking about the press conference and the meeting of Cameron McLay, the police chief, and
sorry, we got off on a tangent there.
And the Islamic leaders of Pittsburgh were all there. And
yeah. So, you know, the investigation continues down on Hazelwood. It's not as clear-cut as people say. And never take just one side and say, okay, well, that has to be the truth because one person says it. And never assume silence is basically being ignored. Sometimes you have to look very closely at things, and there's some stuff that the chief and the FBI are looking at with this. So let's just let that investigation continue. The outreach with the Islamic community, it's not only with public safety, and it's been going on through our public safety office through a guy named John Tokarski, who's been working very closely with our Muslim community for the past couple of years. But it reaches across all groups. So we're doing the same thing within the lesbian and gay community and the transgender community. We're doing the same thing with any group that needs to have the Asian community, because there's a whole set of different rules when you're coming to go to school here of what you do when a police officer pulls you over. In a lot of the countries, the first thing you're supposed to do is get out of the car. And so there's
not what you want to do here.
No, but we also have to train our officers in understanding when that driver comes in there, then to recognize the different case scenarios. So it's a two-way street, trying to work with law enforcement agencies. The FBI is involved in this as well, and also training our officers to recognize cultural differences. So it's a critical part of it. One thing that upsets me about a lot of the talk on Facebook, everything upsets me about the talk on Facebook. But
well, people have said some nasty, critical things about you, and in particular the refugee situation.
Yeah. I engage. I don't engage on the individual basis when it starts getting nuts, but I do engage in trying to have a dialogue and trying to put a message out there of why and how, and talk a little bit about hockey and some music at the same time. But this whole idea of we don't want them here. This idea that Muslims haven't been here, that Pittsburgh wasn't built by Muslims, that right after the Civil War, a mosque wasn't in the Hill District, that Syrians weren't a part of the city so much so that we had a little Syria, that Muslims didn't fight in wars for us and die for us, that Muslims right now aren't a part of building out a new economy in our hospitals, in our universities, in tech firms, that there aren't several mosques throughout the city of Pittsburgh. This whole idea that we don't want them here as if they don't exist is really so far from reality that it sort of becomes this Donald Trump-esque campaign, and that the galvanizing of that is really the rekindling of the know-nothings, the ones that tried to keep the Catholics out of this country, and it's simply now the Muslims.
Well, it's certainly interesting when you look at history and see the parallels. But also, the good news is that, and we were talking about this yesterday, is that with Safdar Khawaja, one of the Islamic leaders in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm.
who runs CARE, yeah.
Yeah, and he was talking about how, I was asking him about, you know, what the backlash has been like. And unlike Philadelphia, which has seen some nasty incidents, we really don't seem to have seen it here.
Philadelphia boos Santa Claus, like literally in the parade. I mean, there's a big difference between the city of brotherly love and Pittsburgh. But there is, though, a baseline of hatred that I haven't seen before. And it's a baseline of hatred that's also permeates itself in violence. And although we may not have seen some of the incidents that Philadelphia has, there are those out there that are potentially able to do that same type of violence here in Pittsburgh. So we have to remain cognizant.
I want to move on to some other issues because we're limited on time. And we'll try to get calls in. We normally do at 412-246-2002, but the mayor's only here till the bottom of the hour. But, you know, we do have a caller from before we move on to another topic. Meredith from Mount Lebanon. Hi, Meredith. You're on with Mayor Peduto.
Hi. Hi, Mayor Peduto.
Hello, Meredith.
Hi. I really hope to meet you someday. Our paths have crossed. Sometimes I am the creator of the War on Women art show for Planned Parenthood. So
yeah.
At some point we'll have to meet.
Okay.
My question for you today is regarding the Syrian refugees, which I completely support you welcoming them to our community. Where can I find information to sign up to host a dinner for them?
Interesting. So next year, we're doing the due diligence of working with the resettlement agencies and trying to build up capacity. Next year, what we want to do is get, and there will be a website or a simple way to be able to do this, get the people who have said exactly what you have said, and there have been hundreds, maybe even 1,000 people have called our office saying, I want to help, and putting you directly in with these agencies. They need your support. They need your help. And we want to connect the people of Pittsburgh to these great agencies that are doing it. So I would say watch around January, February. I'll probably be back on the show around then. And we'll have a site for you to just click on and get involved.
And that's the spirit that I was referring to earlier.
Yes.
Thank
and it's
you,
out there. Yeah. With all the hate. And I had to remind a friend of mine the other day, there's more good in the world than there is bad. Otherwise, this world wouldn't exist. And you got to find that good, and you got to be able sometimes to open your own heart to let that good find you.
Let's talk about climate change. Last week, you were in Paris attending the climate summit for local leaders as part of the Compact of Mayors. You talked about being with all these different mayors, a global coalition of city leaders dedicated to taking climate action. What was discussed? How is Pittsburgh as a city dealing with climate change issues?
Well, it was an honor. I was one of about 500 mayors from around the world who was invited to represent our country. I was on a leadership circle of 12 mayors from around the country, Salt Lake City, Boulder, Colorado, a number of other cities that were representing the United States along with the U.S. Conference of Mayors. And what was really discussed, to put it really briefly, is that the 500 cities represent over 2,000 cities around the world. We are the majority of the earth. The population of the earth has shifted to cities, and that is only increasing. Countries may be able to create treaties. Treaties can be watered down. Treaties can be ignored. But if the 2,000-plus cities around the world agree that we're going to follow these standards, then we can have a real effect on addressing climate change. And what we did is we talked about it, we met about it, we all agreed upon it. And, you know, it happened before. After the Kyoto Treaty was rejected by the United States Congress, mayors from around the United States said, we'll meet those standards. Pittsburgh has now signed on. The story of Pittsburgh is known, and the story of Pittsburgh is not where we're at, but how far we've traveled. And looking at places like China and other places where the air is dangerous to breathe, they look back to Pittsburgh and say, how did you do it? And sitting with mayors from each of the continents, when I tell them the story and I say about how Pittsburgh and how bad it was, they always have the same thing. How did you do it?
We have another caller on the line who wanted to follow up on refugees. Helen from Highland Park. Helen, we're limited on time, but go ahead with your comment or question for Mayor Peduto.
Hello, Mayor Bill. Thank you so much for the strong stance you've taken in support of our fellow Pittsburghers and of refugees who are running from such terrible things.
Thanks, Helen.
The deliberative forums that you've held on so many different issues have been such a positive and constructive way to engage the community. I wonder, have you considered a deliberative forum that might help not only dispel myths, but show just the incredible synergy of diversity and how valuable Muslims and other cultures are in Pittsburgh?
That's a great idea. No, I hadn't. And it would be a great way to celebrate our 200th anniversary next year by doing something or a series of discussions around those types of subjects. And really being able to trace it back to the history of our own city. You know, the reason that this issue hits me a little bit is my grandfather was an immigrant. He came from Italy in 1921 with a second grade education. He raised me. He lived in my house from the day I came back from the hospital. He was a very, very proud man. He worked in a mill his whole life. He was treated horribly when he came over. And he would tell me little things as I was growing up, about how bad it was to be in Carnegie as an Italian in the 20s and the 30s, how the Ku Klux Klan marched down Main Street in the 1920s to protest the Ukrainians and the Italians coming into Carnegie. And they actually shot and killed the head of the Klan during that march. But the stories that he would tell me, now as mayor of the city, I won't allow others to be treated the same way.
Thank you, Helen, for that call. Some other things that we'd like to cover. The situation with the ICA, the Intergovernmental Cooperation Authority, and the city, which has dragged on. It's taken up a lot of your time in this past year. A lot of us have lost track of what's going on exactly. What kind of a brief capsule update can you give us?
So I would prefer to be gone. It was never created to help the city of Pittsburgh. It was created to avoid the commuter tax. So every other Act 47 city has the ability to tax people who don't live in the city but work in the city. In order to be able to stop that from happening, the legislature created another agency that would buffer any Act 47 recommendation from ever allowing a commuter tax. We can get by without the commuter tax, so that's fine. So then it becomes a way to give out contracts and basically, you know, a slush fund. And there's no accountability. There's no requirement for them to put out bids for the work. They don't even vote on them publicly at their meeting, so you don't even know what the contracts are that they're giving out. And there's no oversight for this. So I went up and I met with the Republican leadership of the House and the Senate, and we had a discussion about it. They definitely want to see it continue, but I will not allow it to continue under the rules that it does right now. They have a part-time director who makes almost $200,000 a year who doesn't even have an office in the city of Pittsburgh. They don't even have an office. The rules of how they engage contracts and how those are done have to be changed. The role is right now, they're illegally holding almost $20 million of city taxpayers' money and how they operate and what their main issues are. So we're working, and hopefully by the end of the year, to try to get an agreement of where we both will be in a point where there will be a new organization that will come out of this. It will still be the ICA, but it will be a different organization. If we can't get to that point, then we're going to follow through on our lawsuit, and we're going to get the $20 million of taxpayers' money, and we're going to go for full disclosure about where all those contracts went. That's a right-to-know request that's already out there that they're appealing. But all of this is not a way that government should operate in any case. And to allow it to continue like this would just hurt the city and not help it.
Your 2016 operating budget, unlike the 2015 budget, does not contain a real estate tax hike. Explain your thinking on this.
don't want to raise taxes 2 years in a row. Do it in the first year, get it over with, and work on trying to increase efficiency of operations. 26 budget really focuses on two areas, public works and public safety. And it puts in more workers in those positions. We actually increase the number of building inspectors, police, fire, public works employees, and at the same time reduce the total workforce by about 70 people. The adjustment that was required in last year's budget with the real estate is because we overcut it the 2 years before. And once we saw that the revenues actually went down, we just adjusted it to take it back to where it was before. We didn't need to do any other adjustments this year.
And, of course, City Controller Michael Lamb is saying he's concerned that the city's not getting enough money from the big nonprofits.
He's 100% right. And let me tell you something, too, about Michael. Michael is engaged in not only the annual budgets, but also in the five-year plan, and is personally involved in meetings that we have every other week, along with Act 47, DCED, the City Council. We have these really good working groups. And when he says that the nonprofits are not doing their fair share, he is absolutely right. So we have been in discussion for about a year since the lawsuit was withdrawn with the big four, Pitt, CMU, UPMC, Highmark, Allegheny, West Penn. And we have some areas of agreement that we haven't been before. And I could sign a deal tomorrow that would be the most that we've gotten from these agencies. However, it doesn't get us to where we need to be. I'm not asking for a blank check. I'm asking for something that would be able to take care of our long-term expenses over the course of several years and not have to go back with a tin can or a tin cup every 3 years. And we're not there yet. And I'm not going to agree to it until we are there. I want to work with them on a shared vision of how this city's economy is going to shift and how we're going to rebuild neighborhoods. But they have to work with me on taking care of the infrastructure of the city. And until we get both of our shared visions down, then I can't be a partner and I won't sign an agreement.
Couple quick things. You've signed an executive order requiring all full-time city employees to be paid $15 an hour minimum wage. What led you to make that decision?
It's the right thing to do. So, you know, you can only beat the horse so much before the horse stops working. And you need to treat your workers with the same type of respect. Now, this is phased in. So we start with $12.50 an hour. We go to $13.75 over the next couple of years. And 5 years from now, we're at $15. So we're working it into our budget itself. The other part of it is we want to be, as Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. We want to be able to go back to those big four and say, hey, look, we're able to do this. You should be able to do this. And for the lowest paid workers at those universities and hospitals, guess where most of them live? In the city of Pittsburgh. Being able to get them to that wage means they don't have to live in an apartment. They can actually look to buy a house, stabilize a neighborhood, be able to spend more time with their children, and hopefully be able to send their kids off to college and use the Pittsburgh Promise. But as long as they're making $11 an hour, they're stopped from doing that. So if we can say we can do it, you know what, PNC Bank, you can do it too. And we can start helping those that are at the lowest income within our city and help them to be able to start to rebuild neighborhoods while rebuilding their lives. And profits are at all-time high. Corporate pay at the top of the structure is increasing at an all-time rate. It's about time we start caring about the people at the bottom too.
Mayor Perduto, this is the last time we'll see you in 2015. What would be a highlight or highlights for you for this year?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if somebody asked me, what's the best thing that you've done? And I said, I still haven't done it. I think that, you know, the city is in such a great place right now. And a lot of the anchor, as one foundation leader had said, had been city government. You had to drag it along to be a part of it. I think that over this past year, with the people that I have on staff and my directors and the chiefs, we've been able to modernize and adapt city government to be a part of all the good things that are now happening in the city. But there's still so much more work to do. I would leave you with this. Today, the heads of all the Christian churches of Western Pennsylvania will be meeting, and they'll be discussing the Syrian refugee crisis. And I'm hoping that their voice reminds all of us of the true meaning of the holiday season, whether it is Hanukkah, which is the celebration of the light, or Diwali, which is the celebration of light, or Christmas, or Kwanzaa, which uses light as its symbol. The light is within us, and it's the peace that we need to find, and we need to spread it. And in the spirit of Christmas, I'd remind everybody that Jesus was the child of refugees. And we need to find that light and remember that this Christmas.
Don on Twitter says, keep up the good work. We enjoy seeing Pittsburgh coming alive again. Mayor Peduto, we've enjoyed having you, all of your visits, having you in studio with us here on Essential Pittsburgh during 2015. And happy holidays to you
Thank
and your
you.
Staff and your family. And we'll see you in 2016.
See you in January.
Sounds good. Mayor Bill Peduto joining us on Essential Pittsburgh. Coming up, how the murder of Catherine Janet Walsh went unsolved for over three decades until last year, from the author of a new book about the case. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.